This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Good evening. I am so excited to welcome you to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. I'm your host, Della Ray, and rocking the engineer booth this evening is Dell. Our collective brings you this show every Friday night at 6 p.m., and women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 35 years. Making it the longest-running feminist radio show in this country. And in case you didn't know, this airspace is here to be shared. This collective is open to new members. If you are a woman in body or spirit, we'll help train you and support you to be in the front of the mic, or perhaps you prefer to be behind the scenes. Either way, reach out. Contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes. You can also find us on KBOO's website at kboo.fm/breadandroses or on Facebook at KBOO Bread and Roses. So, all of the excitement is about. Tonight is actually my first night hosting on Bread and Roses, and I'm just really excited about it. So, I want to acknowledge someone else that's in the air room with me. It's Lee Ann Kranz. She's a longtime Bread and Roses host, so she's flying co-pilot. And of course, the intent is not for her to come on, but if she does, you know I'm in trouble. Lee Ann being in the room is actually proof positive of the Bread and Roses commitment to support all efforts. In a few minutes, we are going to spend some time talking with Wendy Sample, a 10-year-plus advocate of NAMI. NAMI is the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization dedicated to building better lives for the millions of Americans affected by mental illness. But before I dig in with Wendy, I just want to give you a quick background as to what my purpose is and my intention for hosting a show on KBOO Community Radio. My work began on a long, dusty, and dirt road. Can't you just see it? Back in 2005, when I founded a nonprofit organization with my sister, Deborah. And as a result of our vision to connect people with nonprofits, our model of giving that we built expanded to Louisville, Kentucky. 6 years of driving this vision earned our organization more national, regional, and local recognition than you can shake a stick at. But you know what I learned? I learned three key things. One is accolades and accomplishments are great, but they're really only as good as you feel and think about yourself. In order to do well, we must first be well, and oftentimes we get those backward. And finally, I learned the vital importance of self-care. So from there, I went on to write and publish a book called Little Book of Self-Care, and it's just a really small book that talks about this very message. And to my surprise, I quickly learned that self-care, soul care, well-being is something that is not encouraged. It's not something we talked about. So last year, I launched a self-care campaign where I took on the message of self-care through workshops, presentations, and events. Today, I produce Be Well lectures and fairs, and my ultimate goal of providing space, information, and education to discuss well-being. And so being here on the radio tonight is another way to get this message out and get people on the air like Wendy to talk about very important things that support our well-being. So it's fitting that Wendy is here with us tonight because I believe that mental health goes hand in hand with self-care. So I want to welcome Wendy to the show, Wendy Sample. Boy, you are one bold person, courageous soul, being here on the radio. It's my first time. Let's. So, Wendy, tell us about NAMI. First of all, what does NAMI really stand for?
NAMI is a fabulous national organization, and every chapter is different. It's really community-based. I work with Multnomah County, NAMI. And I was fortunate enough to take a class called Family to Family, which is free to everybody. It's 12 weeks, 3 hours a week, very intense. And we get to sit around and talk about our family members and our loved ones that have, you know, mental illness and are living with that.
So can you tell us a little bit more about what your experience was with your family member with mental illness?
Well, I think a lot of us have this. We're growing up, and I had two sisters. I was the youngest, and my middle sister was challenged. I mean, she was not producing in school and was really antisocial. Nobody knows really what to do. My mother and father pretty much covered it up. You know, just tried to get her into horseback riding or individual activities so that she could kind of do her own thing. She got to work in the yard with my dad, and we had to clean house inside. But I think families just sort of hit it because it was a reflection on the parents. And as we grow up, and of course, both my parents are gone now, it becomes, you know, the responsibility of us as family members. And my sister Denise is a wonderful human being, an RN, and very knowledgeable. And we just try to do the best we can for my sister, who is now 59 and is living with schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm. And when was she diagnosed with schizophrenia?
Probably about 19, 20.
Mm-hmm. And what was that like for you?
It was really tough. She had a break, a psychological break, and that really was, she was, you know, put in, you know, a facility and obviously rebelled against that and came out of that. And, of course, she doesn't think she's ill and she does not want to be medicated and she can't live independently, wholly. And we have a wonderful stepmom that helps out tremendously, too, since my father's been gone 10 years, but it's a real stress on the family because we just don't know where she's going to be, how long it's going to take, to what resources we have to offer her on a continuous basis to survive.
Nice. Well, of course, we're welcoming callers. If you want to call in and join the conversation, 503-231-8187. Wendy, I have a question for you. When we were originally talking and really getting ready for this show today, you were telling me about a time where you're sitting out on your back porch that was just poignant to me. And would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, it was on my sister's back porch, and my father and my sister said Karen really needs to be incarcerated. I mean, she needs to be in a home or a care facility. And unfortunately, there isn't a place like that for people, and especially for people living with schizophrenia that don't want to be in a location. They want to be independent.
Right, right. So you know what I read on the website? It says, of NAMI, it says nearly 60 million Americans experience a mental health condition every year, regardless of race, age, religion, or economic status. Mental illness impacts the lives of at least 1 in 4 adults and 1 in 10 children across the United States. That's so shocking and it's so huge. Tell me more about how this really came to play for you and your family.
Well, it was a burden, and when I first looked for resources for my sister Karen, it was pretty much told to me that we as a family needed to come up with those resources,
right.
And unfortunately, we don't have them. So you just keep digging, and that's the part of NAMI, is a resource that you can go to, and you can be around other people that are facing the same thing. I'm fortunate Karen doesn't live on the streets,
right,
where many families have that. She's not medicated, as I said, and she won't go to the doctor. So, you know, that presents its own issues.
Sure.
But I just think that with families to accept these situations and look into them and have a resource like NAMI in the community that has classes and workshops and everything's free that they can go to and just walk in the door and get help.
Right. So let me ask you, let me just take a quick step back here. And you said with families to accept this, you know, tell me about the stigma. You quickly touched on your parents. Tell me about the stigma. What is this all about around mental health?
Well, it certainly is hard for people to not have control of their minds. It's hard for them to admit it. And many times the illness won't allow that. And the medications, once they're on the medications, offer all sorts of, you know, trials and hardships and issues of themselves. So that's a difficult place to be. And I think for families, because mental illness, you don't know how people are going to react. And obviously in Portland, we've had some situations that have become very public about, you know, how we've had to face these issues with our community members suffering from and living with mental illness. So I think if the community, like I love KBOO community, right, can embrace that one in four are affected by mental illness sometime in their lifetime, that we don't look at people on the streets that are singing or yelling or obviously having hardship and repelled by that, mm-hmm, realizing that this is a community and one in four are affected sometime in their lifetime, and how are we going to help that?
You know, I was talking to a girlfriend the other day, and she said that she was going through a hardship and just really knowing that she needed to get some help. And she said she mentioned it to her mother, and her mother said, "What?" and really almost persecuted her for it. And she said that she almost felt like she had told her mother that she had committed a crime, took someone's life away. And her mother's response was, "You don't need help. You need to pray." And she said, "Well, Mom, I did pray, and God told me to go get some help." Right? And so I'm hoping tonight that we can dig a little deeper around that. But I want to move on and talk a little bit more about the resources. You know, earlier when we talked, you had said that resources are really tight. And maybe you can kind of piggyback that with NAMI and how NAMI has been able to meet the need of mental illness in our community.
It's a part of the fabric.
Okay.
And they have some new wraparound services that they want to offer, and so we're looking at that, you know, unfolding that community so that everybody has a piece in it.
Nice. Okay, it sounds like we have a caller. Sean is on the line. Welcome, Sean.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, the Republicans, you know, I think are pretty much responsible for having defunded mental health over the last 30 or 40 years. I'm wondering now, with these horrific shootings taking place, in your opinion, do you think they'll finally start putting the resources for long-term inpatient residential treatment, opening up more beds for folks who need it? Because I just think, you know, I'm a believer in talk therapy, but I think that has to take place sometimes in a residential setting. And it seems like there's such an emphasis on meds, and I know NAMI is very closely linked to many of the pharmaceutical companies, so I was wondering if your guest could just touch on any of that stuff. Thanks.
Thank you, Sean. I'm going to turn that over to Wendy.
I would hope that people don't immediately go to mental illness as an affliction for what we're faced with, these, you know, shootings and situations that arise, because actually there is not an overwhelming, they aren't done by mentally ill individuals. But I do know that our mental health system is in need of repair and connection so that people have what they call now wraparound services. And it is difficult because, like my sister with schizophrenia, these people don't want help. You know, they don't want to be in any sort of shape, form, or anything helped. They just want to live a life. So how you work around that in a community, and that's what NAMI's there for, is really to allow people to get into the system and connect with what's available in our community.
Yeah. So thanks, Sean, for your call. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with Bread and Roses. All right. So we welcome callers. Appreciate Sean dropping by. 503-231-8187. You are listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Della Ray. We're talking to Wendy Sample of NAMI. And we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And I'm going to play a little something for you. You know, I'm not going to set the stage. I'm going to just have you just listen, but we'll be right back. Thank you.
Things clouds and hot summer's days, and I'll kiss your hand and you'll never look away. I want all those stupid things. I want all those stupid things.
We're back, and you're listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Della Ray, and that song I just played for you was Sam Walker. Did you feel it? You had to feel it. And that was given to us by local talent Noah Kite and Corey Distler. They make up Zinni for short. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm forever a loyal Zinni. They're local, they're wonderful. And this evening, we're here talking with Wendy Sample, an advocate of NAMI. And NAMI is a National Alliance on Mental Illness. And right before we cut to break, Sean called in, and there is something that he did mention around medications with mental illness. And Wendy, if you would just talk a little bit more about the medication and the process. And you were saying, you know, a lot of times people don't want to take their medication. Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Well, there's no perfect medication. Oftentimes they work for a little while and then they need to be adjusted and whatnot. And I'm just around it. I'm certainly not a health professional, so I'm just talking from my experience of being with friends and whatnot that have to go through that. So it's challenging. I mean, it's, you know, it sometimes can be, the medications can be worse than the actual illness.
Mm. So did you experience that with your sister?
No, because she has never been on medication outside of when she was hospitalized.
Okay. So again, we're taking callers, 503-231-8187, if you want to join this conversation with Wendy, from a 10-year advocate with NAMI. My question is for you, Wendy, is we talk about NAMI and we talk about mental health. What is it, if we have someone who, like, we think they need testing, or we may want to get testing. Can you talk, and you mentioned that you went to a 12-week program. Is that only for people that have families, or are there services available for someone who may just want to check in and say, you know, am I okay? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many resources on the website, too. And I know you've been to NAMI.org and found all sorts of fascinating articles and whatnot. NAMI's open. Just walk in the door if that's easier, or go to the website. But the family-to-family class I took was specifically, I mean, believe me, I thought I had ADHD and, you know, was depressed and all these things, because mm-hmm. I have like a six-inch notebook from that course that I took. But I think it's the stigma you referred to, is that people don't want to put a label on themselves, and they certainly don't want to put a label on someone else. But attention deficit disorder is something that's, you know, been diagnosed a lot now. And that is something that people have a tough time diagnosing and getting a hold of and figuring out what to do to correct it. So there's all sorts of areas, but I can't say enough about there's all ways to get involved with NAMI. And if there isn't a group already focused around what you'd like to research and look into, you can start one.
So tell us the website again for NAMI.
It's NAMI.org, and that's the national. Mm-hmm. And we have NAMIOR.org for NAMI Oregon. And then when you go to NAMI Oregon, or even the national one, you can click on any county. So every county has a different web page too, so you can get to your local, drill down to Washington County or Clackamas County or Vancouver area or whatever.
So NAMI, capital N-A, M as in Mary, I, NAMI.
NAMI.
Nice. Okay. So I really want to talk a little bit more about getting in with services. What would you tell a person or a family that's saying, okay, we have an issue here, or we have a challenge? What would you recommend for them?
Call NAMI.
Just
call their county chapter.
Mm-hmm. Just call.
We have a great receptionist at NAMI Multnomah, mm-hmm. Cammy, and she'll fill you in. She'll let you know when the classes are, when the workshops are, what offerings are coming mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. You can come in. You can visit with one of the staff people mm-hmm. at the office, and they can clarify what's there. They can give you physical resources. you know, pamphlets and booklets and whatnot.
Right. So I need to ask this question. Mm-hmm. I want to try to perhaps ask a question that maybe someone out there is thinking and may not necessarily want to call in with. But if you do want to call in and join the conversation, of course, 503-231-8187. As a woman of color, how would I be able to go in there and meet with someone like me? And perhaps maybe someone in the community with, you know, LGBT, tell me about the actual people that meet me and meet the community as they have needs. Is it inclusive? And how do we know? And, you know, we talk about if there's a mental health issue, how are we going to feel welcome? How is someone going to feel welcome to come in and get services?
Mm-hmm. We have it's a very nice office that's very informal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hours, I think, check on our website because they are limited at this time. We are in a transition right now between executive directors. So that would be something that I would call and find out the hours. But seriously, there's just, you know, great staff, outreach capacity, and they know what's in the community. So if it's not at NAMI, then they would know where other resources are pertaining to what particular circumstance you're looking for. And as far as people of color, I would say yes. I mean, Hispanic, and I was just at our annual meeting a couple weeks ago, and it's wonderful. It's very colorful.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So why did you choose NAMI, and when did you get started with NAMI, and how has NAMI helped you I really want to get our listening audience, and my whole purpose around being on the radio and bringing people in is to really talk about, you know, we're doing a great job talking about the corporate part of NAMI and the 8 to 5 and the hours, but I want to talk a little bit more about the real stuff with NAMI and family and how people will feel comfortable reaching out to this organization, and talk a little bit more about your experience with NAMI. That's what I'm after. Give it to you.
So my family experience was my first personal, besides the website and picking up pamphlets. And I think there is that fear of finding out information, because mm-hmm. I didn't know how to help my sister and I didn't understand it. And I was certainly aware of if I was just nice enough or talked nice enough or gave her an option, she would listen to me. But unfortunately, that's not the way her mind works. And I had to really get into what we talked about, realizing the limitations of what I could give to my sister and where a professional and their services have to come in.
All right. So it looks like we have another caller. Joe, welcome to Bread and Roses.
And right now I'm watching a replay on C-SPAN 2. And their subject that they're discussing today at Capitol Hill is privacy laws for mental health records. So there's civilians and government officials testifying in front of a select, commission from the senators and congresspeople. So just thought I'd let you know that people would probably be interested in that. Again, it's privacy laws for mental health records being discussed on C-SPAN. And it looks like their website is the letter C, hyphen SPAN, S-P-A-N, .org. So just go to cspan.org, and you know they can load that down there on a video somehow or another. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you guys know that. Hey, and something good for the old mental health is to listen to KABU on Monday mornings on Health Watch with Dr. David Neiman, and also Madness Radio or Health and Healthcare Forum. Those, I've learned a lot of really great things on there. So if people that don't know much about KABU, they can tune in there on Monday mornings. And Health Watch starts at 11. Health and Healthcare Forum this next Monday, I guess, is going to be on at 11. It's preempting Health Watch with Dr. David Neiman, who's a local naturopathic physician here in Portland. But anyway, check that out. And then Monday night at midnight, just for giggles and grins, to entice your mood a little bit, midnight is an hour-long show called the Tiki Cha-Cha Club, and their motto is taking elevator music to new heights and turning cheese into souffle.
Wow,
anyway,
Joe.
Today, but the main thing I called is this privacy laws for mental health records on cspan.org, and they can watch a video of testimony here about their privacy. So anyway, thank you very much.
No, thank you, Joe. Thank you for calling in. Wow, Joe's going to take my job. I can just close out now. That was awesome. So, as you know, we're welcoming callers. Join the conversation, 503-231-8187. We are talking to Wendy, a 10-year advocate with NAMI, and we were just really talking about the family piece, and you were talking about, you know, working with your sister and just saying if you could have been different, how you thought maybe you could have helped your sister. And really tonight's show, and the whole message is around well-being, and I just kind of want to spin off in a little bit of a direction here about, you know, that well-being is my thing. And tell me, share with us how the well-being piece aligns with you and how you were able to take care of yourself and continue to take care of yourself.
Continue. And you just realize there's only so much you can do, because I can't push the river. I can't push Karen in to doing anything she doesn't want to do. She has an advocate that actually got her to a medical doctor appointment, which is probably the first in 20 years. And again, here's the HIPAA laws. We don't know what happened at that appointment. Even her advocate that got her to the doctor appointment doesn't know, because, you know, she's an independent adult, and we don't know any of that. So I don't know if we'll ever get her back to another doctor or hear what happened. But it's just realizing that you can, with our loved ones, we can love them and love them and love them, and we have to love them how they are.
Mm-hmm.
We can't change them.
Right. And so this is a really critical piece, because I can imagine there's people out there hearing what you're saying and going, okay, I can do this. I hear what Wendy's saying. And I believe that it's more that we get out and tell our stories and communicate these messages, that people, we can understand one another. So where is your sister now?
Well, she actually lives independently, and she stocks shelves at night.
Mm-hmm.
So she does have an income. She'll never have enough income to really support herself, which is the crisis. And we've been trying to get her into programs so that she can get on SSI and she can, have a nice life and not run up a lot of bills and be needing rent every month.
Mm-hmm. So with NAMI, and I know we kind of keep coming back to this, this 12-week class that you took there. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I was with 28 people that deal with real hardship, real challenges. And as I said, some of them, their loved ones live on the streets. They don't know if they're going to see them again or not. They often just show up maybe at Thanksgiving or something. Very challenging, because, of course, they're living on the streets. We all know where's people quite badly, and they age significantly and obviously live in a different world. So that's sitting around the table, really understanding the diversity out there. One of our real strong advocates for NAMI is Dave Dahl with Dave Killer Bread. I'm sure everybody loves that bread. We do. And he'll actually be at our NAMI walk on May 19th. And he's just fabulous, because he realized he suffered from depression, and he'll tell his story. It's on his website, so I'm not spilling anything that he wouldn't. But how remarkable it was that once he was medicated, he could function and he could apply himself, and obviously has developed an incredible bread recipe, and he's expanding to Denver and down in LA, so we're really happy to have him on board with NAMI.
Nice. That's fantastic. I do want to cover the walk, but I want to come back and ask you about why you chose NAMI. What was your attraction to them? Because since I've known you and I've seen you, you always have NAMI gear under your arms, posters, bags. I mean, it's like if you didn't have any NAMI stuff, I would wonder what was going on.
Well, I think it was just my way of finding that this is my normal.
What do you mean?
This is my family.
Mm-hmm.
And my family is afflicted with mental illness. It runs in families. Everybody has different diagnoses. It's just what it is. And it makes life a little precarious.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is. And I've introduced family to family to numerous people that have come through the course as I have. And I'm still in touch with my instructor. And I still keep up with some of my classmates, because we're just kind of hanging on, going through this wild, unpredictable ride.
Right. So we started to talk about how you care for yourself with your sister, and we got shot off in another direction. Can we come back to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, as we mentioned, it's just really realizing what I can do mm-hmm. for my sister and what I can't do. And some people would say that's a boundary I've created and understand, and I'm much more giving of other people and their boundaries, because we all select them for our own personal reasons, and who am I to tell you what your boundary should be? Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of it. And empathetic I can be, but also understanding that this is where I have to have my life and I can't live hers, and she's perfectly unaware of that as well. So, and that's not going to change.
Mm-hmm. So what I want to do, is take another caller. Sounds like we have John on the phone. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, great show. And
thank you.
I want to support equal rights for everybody. So important. And President Obama actually did something really good today. I thought, if I heard correctly, he's the first president to go to Planned Parenthood and publicly state that to Planned Parenthood and the media that he's going to work very hard to protect women's rights and women's rights to have control of their own bodies. And I think we need more women in all kinds of power positions so we can get to be a healthier world. And I just wanted to say that I'm bipolar, and I take medications, and I was diagnosed at 93, so it's been 20 years. And for me, the medications, the positives of them outweigh the negatives.
John, that's thank you so much for calling and sharing that information with us and being a part of this discussion. We really appreciate your call.
And I'm
you're welcome.
Thank you for sharing that. You and Jane Pauley. I love when we have active people that people obviously know Jane Pauley as a past reporter on television, and when they can come out and talk openly about what they live with, it really helps all of us, doesn't it?
Exactly. And lately, I'm 66 years old, and I tell people all the time pretty out front that, hey, I'm a bipolar and take medications. And I think more of us, it's easier for me because I'm old, but more of us need to be honest about mental health problems. And I'm lucky I've got the VA. But in the 90s, the early 90s, the Oregon Health Program started by the Democrats to help me out. And there was more money in those days, and Cascadia was a lot stronger. So, you know, the key thing is we always got to remember, I know a lot of us get disgusted with this declining empire that we live in, but we got to vote and vote for the best people that are going to do good things.
Absolutely.
Or otherwise there's not going to be any money.
Right.
You know, that's the secret to all this. Right. And needless to say, we need to tax the 1% and tax these super corporations.
Yeah. Well, John, again, I thank you for being on the show. We have another caller waiting, and I want to give as many people an opportunity to be on the air this evening
for sure.
During this conversation.
And thank you very much. Keep up the great work.
Thank
I love
you.
Thank
program.
You, John.
Have a great
Bye-bye.
Evening. So it looks like we have another caller. Sean is calling back in, and so we'll go ahead and take Sean. Good evening, Sean. Welcome back.
Hey, I kind of botched my first question. I'll see if I can get it right this time.
That's okay.
I wanted to mention that part of cultural competency, not only does the mental health system need to be reaching out to people of color, but also a big part of it is socioeconomic. Reaching out to poor people with mental illness is dramatically different than reaching out to people who have access to resources.
Yes.
They call it the Maslow's hierarchy of need. So a homeless person or a person who's just barely getting by has issues that people with means really, you know, can't even imagine. And so I just wanted to put that out there, and also mention that I love Madness Radio with Will Hall, but again, there they sort of they're great about de-emphasizing medications, but they seem to have a problem with inpatient treatment, and I think that's a real missing piece, that inpatient should not just be for stabilization. We need to have long-term inpatient treatment available for people.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we went from deinstitutionalization to the community mental health clinics, but then we proceeded to defund systematically the community mental health clinics over a period of decades.
Great.
So, you know, and it's so ironic that the Republicans are screaming about mental health now because they don't want gun control. You know, so, like, it kills me because, you know, these Republicans are the very people who defunded mental health over the years. Yeah. And now maybe because they don't want gun control, maybe we can finally get proper funding for mental health services. Mm-hmm. And I know that most of the shooters, you know, were not, quote unquote, mentally ill. I hate to stigmatize people like that.
But. Sure.
Correct.
Sean, you know, we really appreciate your call. Appreciate you calling in this evening. It sounds like we've hit a really rich topic that we could go on with. So I want to make sure we get in as many callers as we can. And sounds like we have Joe on the phone who wants to call in and join the discussion. Good evening, Joe.
Yeah, hello. You know, I don't know which male caller said he wanted women as leaders or something, but you know what I've learned from life? Some women shouldn't be leaders, like Margaret Thatcher and Hillary Clinton, who's for war and that. So I don't agree with that. I mean, that's... I don't want any woman to be a leader.
Sure.
I want a woman with good thinking to life and people.
Nice.
If they are going to be leaders. So anyway, I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
NAMI or somebody, can they go into into public housing buildings. I live in one, and there are all kinds of different ages and nationalities and races and of people that, you know, I know they have mental health problems, and
sure.
I was just wondering if they could have education groups about mental health or a support group in public housing to help us get along a little better in here, the employees and residents and everybody. And one more thing, and I'll get off the air. The police, too, you know, they need to be, well, I guess there are a lot of groups of people need to be sensitized and humanized about people, you know, about with so-called mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think all the people that people have been labeled or want to think as mentally ill are truly mentally ill. I think it has to do with being a capitalistic country and being for war and carrying on war, and that is making a lot of us to be or appear mentally ill. But anyway, thanks for listening. I get off the air.
Well, Joe, thank you for calling in. Thank you. So I believe that, Joe had what I heard her saying, Wendy, which to me was just two really great points that I pulled out. One of them being getting some training and classes in the homes, perhaps, for mental illness. And then second of all, perhaps more training for people that are out on the streets helping people. And I think that's an age-old issue. And I want to try to stay close to we can around, you know, this as it relates to mental health. So you are listening to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Della Ray, and we're talking to Wendy Sample, a 10-year-plus advocate of NAMI. And this is turning into a much richer conversation than I could have ever anticipated. What a way for a first show, right?
Yay!
So we have a caller, another caller on the line, Mary Ann. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just wanted to call in and say I think it's a very interesting first hour, and when I'm listening to information about NAMI, I know a little bit about it, and what I think is if people can just be encouraged to go and just experience it
yes.
and see if it helps.
Yes.
So many times, you know, something that helps us at the very beginning, it's like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to do that. I don't want anybody invading my privacy or whatever the, you know, the impetus may be for not doing it. But anyway, that's what I wanted to say, and onward and upward, you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. You're really touching on the issue, the core issue that we're trying to uncover and talk a little bit more about tonight is that whole thing of people feeling comfortable to be able to communicate what's going on with them, being met.
You know, I've had two people in my family, one when I was a kid and one much later when I was in my 40s. It's a difficult issue. People have very difficult problems. But you don't, you just go. Get the support. It can't hurt, and if you don't like it, you don't have to go back.
Marianne, that's wonderful. Thank you. And I hope you realize by you calling and sharing what you just said encourages other people to do the same. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
I wanted to mention, thank you, Marianne, that all of the instructors are volunteers for our classes. It's a curriculum that's designed by NAMI National, and anybody who's interested, please come and step forward. And also, again, none of the classes, there's any fees associated with anything. It's all free.
Okay. You know what? I want to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about, you just said something so magical. No fees. So let's talk about that when we come back. We're going to go to a quick break, catch our breath. We'll be right back. Thank you. You're listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Della Ray, and I just played another Zinni for Short song. Ooh, big surprise. And that song was Long Way Home. I just, again, Zinni fan right here. This evening, we are talking to Wendy Sample, an advocate, a 10-year-plus advocate, I need to add, of NAMI. And talk to us about NAMI, the name NAMI. We've been throwing that around without necessarily explaining what NAMI, N-A-M-I, is.
National Alliance on Mental Illness. And we like to say that people live with mental illness. They aren't ill. Like, you know, somebody has, you know, high blood pressure, they have a mental illness. So they're living with mental illness like they're living with diabetes.
Okay. Tell us again the website local.
Okay, it's NAMI, NAMIOR.org, and that's NAMIOregon.org. And you can get to it by going to NAMI.org, and it, you can go to any state because it is national.
What about giving us a local phone number?
503-230-8009.
One more time.
503-230-8009.
And you mentioned someone's name who picks up the phone there, local NAMI.
Well, I gave you NAMI Oregon's number.
Okay.
So Michelle, who I'm working with on the walk on the 19th, is who you can get to. But you can get any of us at NAMI, volunteer or paid, and they'll send you in the right direction.
Wonderful. So, Wendy, before we left for break, you just touched on something that I think is really important, and you said a magic word, that it's free for people to go in. And can you tell us what that means? Is it free to come in and take like the 12, was it 20-week class you took?
12 weeks, 3 hours a week, yeah.
Tell us what's free and tell us about the classes and what's offered there at NAMI for walk-ins.
Absolutely. So there's a wide spectrum of offerings, but the family-to-family class is literally a 6-inch notebook, and all the materials are free. The class is free. Of course, I chose to join NAMI Multnomah for $35 as a member for an annual because, obviously, the class is worth way far more. But, again, it's just getting the word out. It's getting the resources out. And there's so many opportunities for people to discover what their needs are.
Okay. Well, what I want to do now is just talk a little bit more about the NAMI Walk. Tell us about that. What's that? What's going on?
So this is our opportunity for Portland. It happens in Portland, but it's a statewide walk. We include Vancouver, Southwest Washington, and we have about 3,000 people. Dave Dahl from Dave's Killer Bread will be there. We'll have numerous political folks there, activists. We will also have a marimba band that we love that plays at noon. 1 o'clock is the walk. It's a 3-mile walk. It's a lot of people wear the names and the photos of their loved ones that certainly have not come through living with mental illness for a long duration. And so there is some sadness associated with the unacceptance, as Marion was alluding to, that it's hard for people to, when they feel troubled, to reach out and have a safe place to go and get help. Because there is a lot of stigma affiliated with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people, and I'm trying to jump ahead of what people maybe, our listening audience may want to know, and we always ask the question, how can we get involved? But I want to ask you a bigger question. Why would I get involved? Tell me why I would want to get involved. Why would I want to go to the walk?
Well, because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's definitely fun. Michelle Madison organizes the whole thing. It's great. So we have lots of goodies. It's kind of like a fair from noon until 1. So we have the marimba band, and we have Dave's Killer Bread, and then we have all sorts of other hot dog vendor and, you know, some other opportunities for people. Just bring the kids. You can bring dogs on leashes. Come and have a good time. And then the walk, as I said, goes from 1 to 2. And then we have cookies and ice cream for people who complete the walk.
So could somebody who either may want to get some information about themselves or a family member, is there some booth that they can slyly walk up to and, you know, slip some brochures into their pocket or, you know?
Yes.
Is there information? Will there be information there?
Information booths from all of our sponsors. So Providence, Multnomah County, Payless Drug will be there, Family Care, Adventist Health, Legacy Health, Clackamas County will be there. So you'll see all of the affiliates. So you'll see Washington County and Clackamas County, and your NAMI affiliates will be there so you can get information directly from who's closest to you. Central City Concern will be there. So we have a wonderful community that convenes at the walk.
So I hear all these booths, and I hear about the different groups that are going to be there, but I really want people to feel welcome knowing that they can go down and they can talk to somebody about where they can also access services. Is that true? Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay.
There will be people manning or people at those booths, and they can certainly give them cards and resources about when to come and who to talk to.
And actual counselors there?
I'm sure there'll be plenty of counselors there, not in a formal setting like they could sit down and counsel them at that time, but would certainly refer them to an appropriate time and next step.
Okay. So give us the date and the time again of the walk.
Sunday. We want to make sure everybody knows it's Sunday. And it's at the walk's at 1. It starts at noon. It's at Vera Katz Plaza, which is on the southeast side of the river underneath the Hawthorne Bridge.
Okay.
And we'll set up there, so you'll see lots of activities starting right after. There's a race in the morning, but we'll start setting up after that. And come, you know, at 11, have a good time, do the walk. A lot of people don't walk. That's fine. You know, you don't have to walk. You can you know, visit the booths and be at the location, because we do a big circle around and come right back, the finish and start line are at the same place.
Oh, nice, nice. You know, I found a quote the other day when I was preparing for this interview, and it's by G.K. Chesterton. And it says, "The trouble with always trying to preserve health of the body is that it is so difficult to go to do without destroying the health of the mind." What do you think about that quote?
Interesting. We do in our society put an awful lot of focus on the visible, the body, mm-hmm. and not as much on the mind sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would concur.
Yeah. So do you have, if you could say, if you can spend the next couple seconds, what do you really want people to, when we close out this interview, what is it, a couple of nuggets that you absolutely want people to leave this interview, to leave this time with us together? What do you want people to know?
Well, it's interesting because, of course, we want NAMI Walk to be as big as 20,000 people.
Right.
Because if one in four are living with mental illness, obviously we could have big numbers. But here we are again faced with that stigma that if you come down to the walk, does that mean you're afflicted? Or someone might ask you, why are you at NAMI Walk? And you feel you have to give some sort of explanation. Well, you don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just joining a community because somebody in your church or somebody on your street or somebody who you work mm-hmm. with. And certainly I feel that it's like you shouldn't have to ask people, what do you do for a living? It's like,
right.
We love that. We just love,
right.
What's your sole purpose? And
right.
How do you build community? Those are the phrases that we want to build on. And I think that's what NAMI is doing. NAMI is building a really strong community around acceptance, resources, wraparound services to get people to where they need to go. NAMI can't do everything, but they are knowledgeable about what's in the community, and they're getting resources and helping to build that community up.
Nice. Wendy, I thank you so much for being here. I almost hate to wrap up, but before I do, really quick, will you just give us the website and the phone number one more time?
Absolutely, I will. It is namior.org. That's namioregon.org. And the phone number is 503-230-8009. And I'm Wendy Sample, and you can find my name and my team on the website too.
Nice. Nice. What a show.
What a show.
What a show.
You did it, girl.
Wow. So I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping us up here. It's time. I think it's time. So tonight, I just want to thank Leanne Kranz for being in the room, and I'm really excited that you did not have to take the mic, that I did not fall out. We made it.
You're a pro.
Thank you. And I want to thank Dell for just ripping up the engineer room. Thank you, Dell.
Thank you, Della. You are amazing.
Thank you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And here also with me, I have to thank my sister Deborah and Lorena, who are holding down the other room and providing all kinds of support for me this evening. We are Bread and Roses. Our collective brings you the show every Friday night at 6 p.m. Women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. 35 years, people. 35 years. We're the longest-running feminist radio show in the country. So are you interested? Do you want to get involved? Reach out. We're here to train, to work with you. And if I didn't prove that it can be done, I don't know what else could happen, right? So feel free to reach out to KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes. You can also find us on KBOO's website, kboo.fm, Bread and Roses, or on Facebook at KBOO Bread Roses. Tonight's show is dedicated to Barbara Kite. Without her, well, let's just say thank goodness for her. She really helped get through this evening for me. So, dear listener, people, I want to leave you with this one thought. Now is the time, now, no exceptions, to take the very best care of ourselves all the time and everywhere we go. Thank you for joining us, and be well.
So many women dead, we cried through our cities.
do. But our hearts are hungry too. March to four men for their women's children, and we're mothers again. No more shall we labor from birth till life closes.
You were just listening to Bread and Roses. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio. Keep it locked.
KBOO is a proud media sponsor of the 23rd annual Reach the Beach, scheduled for Saturday, May 18th. With the finish line in Pacific City, Reach the Beach offers four different starting locations. You can ride 100 miles from Portland, 80 from Newburgh, 55 from Amity, or 28 miles from Grand Ronde. More information on deadlines and registration for Reach the Beach can be found on our website at kboo.fm.
KBOO is co-sponsoring a benefit to help save the Pioneer Mothers Memorial Cabin in St. Paul, Oregon. This historic building has been badly affected by past flooding and continuing erosion. There is an event happening on Saturday, April 27th, from 4 to 7 p.m. in St. Paul, Oregon. The event includes an art exhibit featuring local artists, a juried art auction, historical tours, plus music, appetizers, and wine. More information about the Newell House Museum's Art for Education, Saving the Pioneer Mothers Memorial Cabin, can be found online at the KBOO Community Radio Events page at kboo.fm.
The 2013 Yogathon is here and KBOO is a co-sponsor. Living Yoga is holding its fourth annual Yogathon during the months of April and May. Individuals and groups are creating their own personal yoga challenges. They're attending classes at several participating yoga studios in the Portland area, and friends and family are sponsoring their efforts. Living Yoga is awarding prizes to the top individual and team. All of this is to help benefit Living Yoga, a nonprofit program bringing yoga to people in drug and alcohol recovery, incarceration, or who are accessing community transitional services. More information about this six-week-long event can be found at living-yoga.org.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
David D. hanging out with you this afternoon, and I wanted to kick something off. If you recognize the voice, that is somebody who's no stranger to our station, Rico Pabon, and he is rapping over the hip-hop ensemble. You know, really, at a time when he did this, hip-hop was pushing new boundaries and taking on a orchestra type of vibe. And we have the person that was behind that effort doing new things and big things. His name is Juan Kim. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Hip-hop ensemble, orchestra, opera, you know, you're taking hip-hop into directions that we normally don't associate it with, and really, you know, breaking boundaries. Talk about this and, you know, what we were just listening to at Rico Pabon.
Yeah, so in order to talk about the project that we are doing, Ensemble Make Language, I have to talk about hybrid music, because essentially that is what we are doing. And what hybrid music is, the kind of music that that has been actually happening for last 100 years, especially the emergence of jazz, but even before that, this happened in even European music. And so what I did was basically recognizing a pattern and injecting the Western European classical compositional techniques to various of hybrid music that is already there in the form of pop music. So,
when you say hybrid music, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And not to be too complicated, but in the beginning of 20th century, a man named Claude Debussy, who actually changed all the writing styles of Western European composition. And what he did was to actually incorporate certain aspects of Gamelan music and the music that he heard in Russia. Mm-hmm. Because he was exposed to these different cultures, first in Russia as a music tutor for this rich person, and then after that, when he came back to Paris, he attended Paris Expo, and mm-hmm. then he was exposed to Gamelan, which was completely different than Western European music. So in order to emulate that, he actually sort of broke a bunch of rules at the time. So that really made big impact and problems. And after that, just everybody, virtually almost everybody, wanted to mimic Debussy, thus changing the landscape of music.
Now, when we look at music, in many communities, music, you know, let me just start, let me rephrase.